We bypassed the introduction phase during the last session because of the first session, which was also the last session, because we didn't have very many here. We have at least one more here today than we had before, so I'm going to introduce myself. I'm Senator Bill Fisher from District 23, which I live in the Roseburg area, and I cover central and southern Douglas County, parts of the northern part of Josephine and Jackson counties. I'm starting my second term in the Senate, which will term limit me. I had two terms in the House prior to coming to the Senate 4 years ago. And I've been involved in the Health and Human Services Committee in some form or another as member or chair or vice chair or something or other all through my legislative career. And I've been on the private side involved in all the different aspects of nursing home operation, clear through from assistant administrator to begin with, on to owner and administrator and operator. So that's been my prime livelihood in the last 33 years. And about a year and a half ago, I sold all my nursing home interests and reinvested in several assisted living facilities around there. And we skipped a couple generations because my parents are getting up in years and I'm getting up in years. And so I have an interest in the and a knowledge of the long-term care situation in the state of Oregon, and being in that occupation has also allowed me to rub shoulders with a lot of people in the other medical fields, and give me quite a knowledge of the need for medical insurance for folks and the needs that they have in dealing with trying to help our employees through their medical problems and take care of them. So I'm glad to be here and be the chair, and I want to try to run an open committee here and allow people to have their say in the bills that come up before us, and do the level best we can to make Oregon the tops in the nation for our health care system. And I'll go clear down to the end to my...
Thank you, Senator. My name is State Senator Gary George, representing District 2. District 2 goes from basically Newburgh and Gaston down to the Central Oregon coast, and then clear down to and around Florence, City of Florence, a big district. Of course, rural health care issues are a major concern to me. I did serve on the committee last session, towards the last half of the last session. Anxious to be here, particularly relative to protecting and enhancing rural health care, and was able to this summer participate in the tours that were done by the interim committee, and looking to see how what kind of condition we're in those rural hospitals, real major concern. And of course, an issue that may not come through this committee, but an issue I think that still makes a big bunch of difference to how care is delivered, and that is the idea of senior and disabled transportation and making sure that we're providing adequately for what I call transit-dependent seniors. Hey, good, I get to keep on talking until he gets back.
Go ahead. I'm State Senator Frank Shields. I have been on Ways and Means Subcommittee for Human Services or on the Human Services Committee, and quite often on both ever since I arrived at the legislature the same time as Senator Fisher. He graduated from the House and got to the Senate faster. But we've both worked together on several human services issues, and I hope to be of use this time around again. I would say that I'm having an interesting experience. I'm the only clergyman in the House or the Senate, I think, at the present time. And that's been the way it's been during my almost a decade here now. But the interesting thing is that I've kind of gotten involved in some issues that at the national level have gotten some interest, and that's creating partnerships between FBOs, faith-based organizations, and departments of human services. Gary and Bobby and others have been involved at the Department of Human Services on that issue, and I think we're going to continue some of those conversations in the months ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Ken Messerly. I'm a state senator from District 24, which is from Florence to the California border. This is my third session. I've served two terms in the House. primarily in natural resource issues. I served also on the Ways and Means last session. So this is kind of a new game for me. Although during this last interim, I did serve on a task force for children in trying to figure out how to give them better support and better service from 0 to 3, be proactive. My district in Brookings is the highest concentration of retired people in the state of Oregon, and so senior issues are very important to me. I'm very concerned about health services to rural Oregon, to all of Oregon for that matter, but primarily to rural Oregon. I know it's not only my district, but other rural communities as well that are having a very, very rough time right now. I'm also very interested in taking a hard look at the Oregon Health Plan and how we can work a better memorandum with the federal government to better service the Oregon Health Plan and to finance the Oregon Health Plan. I think we've got a real challenge there, and it's really drawing a lot out of other programs in the state of Oregon. So I'm looking forward to the committee. It's a very important committee for my district, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to be able to serve with all of you, and I would like to have our staff administrator and possibly his assistant over here also introduce themselves, and I'll let the administrator introduce himself while the assistant is making his way around to one of these microphones here so he can put himself on the record.
Hi, my name is Rick Verkobe, and I'm committee administrator for the Senate Health and Human Services Committee. I've been an Oregonian since May, having moved from Silver Spring, Maryland, where someone we know is moving there shortly. I hope you enjoy snow. I was at one time a practicing social worker. I have a master's degree in social work, but for the last 12 years before coming here, worked for a national disability organization where I did health policy and research in disability, in aging, and in some healthcare issues. Over the interim, I did staff a couple committees. This is my first session and look forward to working with you and to appreciate this committee. Andrew?
My name is Andrew Morris, and this is my third session at the Capitol, my second session with Health and Human Services, and I've had some work experience in the healthcare field.
Thank you. We're glad to have both of you with us. We've scheduled a little informational meeting here. First, before we do that, I just might mention that Senator Carter has had some family problems. I believe she lost a nephew, and she's had some time out of her normal schedule, and we would anticipate that she'll be with us pretty steady here in the very near future, and we certainly offer our sympathy and condolences to her. And she's going to be a valuable member of the committee and my vice chair. And I have met with her, and we've discussed quite a bit in the direction we wish to see our committee go, and I'll give her an opportunity to introduce herself when she's able to come. Anyway, we've got an informational meeting here from Gary Weeks, the director of the Department of Human Services, and Bobby Mink, the Department of Human Services deputy director, which I guess is going to develop very shortly into at least an interim directorship for Bobby. I believe before you gentlemen come up and give you a report, in case there's anything that goes wrong and we change our mind, we're going to have a letter here that we want to present to you, Gary, for your service. And we are in the process of getting Senator Carter's signature on it, so we may have to give it to you a little later. I would like to turn the time over to my administrator and have him read the letter for the record.
Thank you. Dear Gary, we, the members of the Senate Health and Human Services Committee, would like to thank and commend you for your service to the state of Oregon and wish you well in your new position with the Annie B. Casey Foundation. However, it is with mixed emotions that we relay this message, as we are losing an excellent administrator, a forceful advocate for Oregonians in need, and a good friend to the legislature. In your 28 years with state government, you have continually demonstrated outstanding leadership skills and abilities. It is at the helm of the Department of Human Services that we have recognized your true talents. During your tenure, we have seen this agency become recognized as a leader in the area of human services. The department developed the nation's first respite care system to support families of children with disabilities. help people with disabilities find jobs without losing needed benefits, and develop a plan that will integrate the many services you help create or make better. Today, many more children are healthier, happier, and safer due to your personal investment in our system. Adults with disabilities are working, seniors are able to live more independently, and more people can regularly receive medical care because of the time and effort you put into making Oregon a better state. For this and all of your other accomplishments, we give you our thanks and appreciation. While we are happy for you on your new job, we also hope that the riches of Oregon, our mountains, forests, coastline, and especially the people, will someday lure you back home. In the meantime, we are confident that you will continue to make contributions to a better society through the fine work of the Casey Foundation. Most sincerely, signed by the members.
Now we'll expect a real good report on how reorganization is coming. Gary and Bobby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Gary Weeks, Director of the Department of Human Services, at least for another 2 weeks. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that letter. I'm, as I said to Senator Shields a few minutes ago, when he asked me how I was doing, I said I'm really struggling with a lot of emotions. You know, I'm very excited about the chance to do some work with the Annie Casey Foundation. And yet I walk around my own building, you know, and see people that I've known for a long time, and I have this great sense of sadness about leaving after 28 years. And I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be here, even though I'm on my way out, because there's some things I wanted to share with you on my way out. And first, I think, and foremost among those things is to tell you how much I have really enjoyed my association with this Legislative Assembly. And the opportunity to work with you all directly for so many years. And for all of you that are on the dais today, I've been here since your careers started. People like Senator Hannon and Senator Trowe, who I testified before in 1975 when I was working in higher education, and they were on education committees back in those days. So I have really enjoyed that relationship, and I like the give and take between committees. I mean, sometimes there's more take than give, but but I like that. I like the process that we have in this state, and I need to thank you for the way that you've treated me over the years and the way you've treated my staff. I think you've always been fair and done your best to try to give us the opportunity to make our case, and that's, I think, what's really most important to me anyway. And my decision to leave was incredibly difficult. It was probably the most difficult professional decision I had to make. It was a difficult personal position because I'm calling my wife with me, and I have told her it doesn't snow, Rick, in Maryland. Okay. I appreciate that you helped me share this secret and everything. And I have a blood oath with my wife that in 6 years we'll be back in Oregon. 6 years, my two grandsons will be in middle school, and I'm going to be here to watch them go through middle school and high school. And so I'll be back in that amount of time, maybe sooner, depending on what happens. But that's my plan. There isn't any good time to leave this job. Reporters have asked me about leaving before the session starts, and that's probably not a good time, but leaving when the session's over, when you have the legislative assignment and you know and you have to go out and fulfill the legislative assignment, is not a good time. It's not a good time to leave when you're developing a budget, when you're trying to make your case with the governor about what the agency needs before the next session starts. That's not a good time. So I think any time is probably not a good time to leave. But I leave with a good bunch of people there, which I think you know many of them, and not the least of whom is my deputy, Bobby, who's going to be the interim director, and I can't think of a better choice for the governor to be made. It's important that this agency have somebody leading it that understands our priorities and has our values, knows how to work with the legislature, knows how to work with the advocacy groups, and Bobby has all that. And so I would have been disappointed if there had been any other decision than that. I am going to the Annie E. Casey Foundation. I think many of you may know that it's funded by United Parcel Service. It's one of the larger foundations in this country. It's dedicated to programs that serve children and families in local neighborhoods, trying to make a difference for children and families. My job with the foundation is a new one. I'm going to be the Director of Human Services Reform, and in that job, I'm going to be charged with trying to find places in the United States, large cities, counties, or states, where it looks like we have an opportunity to come in and use the Annie Casey resources along with the jurisdiction and make significant and substantial, long-lasting change in human services. That's what I care about, and that's what I've, as Bobby and my staff know, been focused on for the last 5.5 years. And this is an opportunity to do it nationally and try to build models like I think we're building here in Oregon, models that other counties and states and cities can adopt to get better outcomes for kids and for families. And for me, I don't think there's any greater purpose, for me anyway, in the work that I do than that. When I took this job, I said to a lot of folks, I thought it was the best job in government. And I still believe that. I still think it's the best job in government. And it's that because you have that chance to work in public policy arenas that has such a big impact on the people in Oregon, from kids to seniors to public health and people with significant disabilities and so on. It is the best job if you're really interested in public policy. Although not everybody agreed with me when I took the job and the phone calls I got from a lot of my friends, including one I received when I answered the phone, the voice said, "Are you crazy?" You know, and I recognized the voice and I said, "Hi, Governor Roberts, it's nice to talk to you again." And stuff. And she said, "I am so glad you took that job, but I think you're crazy to do it." And it's been a great experience for me. The governor and I had a long conversation when I took the job, and I said to him, there are three things that I think we have to do. And I know Senator Fisher's heard this and Senator Shields before. And those three things were, we have to make this department what was envisioned for it 30 years ago when it was created in 1971. And that is an integrated, fully functioning department, not six divisions that operate sort of independently under one budget authority. And I said, I think in addition to that, we need to find a way to figure out how to make our services relate to what communities need, not build state services and then try to apply them to all the communities in this state. But we had to be out there and design different kinds of services for the different needs of Oregon. And thirdly, that we would be focused on outcomes, that we would be able to tell you, Governor, and the legislature, if we spent money in this way, this is the outcome we expect to have, and if we don't get that outcome, then you shouldn't fund us. And for that responsibility, and I've believed that from the beginning, and I still believe that. And as Bobby well knows, I've stayed with those three themes for 5.5 years. And probably anybody in my building can tell you, if you say, what are the three things that Gary's interested in, they can tell you, these are the three things, because I think that's what we have to work on. In 1971, when this assembly created the department, there were six divisions in it. And I thought it was interesting what people said in 1971. I just very quickly want to share this with you. Some of these folks you'll remember. Ed Westerdahl was the governor's chief of staff, Governor McCall's chief of staff. And when he was talking about this new agency, he said, one of the problems we've experienced is that employees have been in independent divisions, taking a narrow view of the problems of people, and only looking at what their money and their decisions and their agency can do. And L.B. Day said, as L.B. Day only could say, those of you who remember Senator Day, we have a ridiculous system. We should have treatment teams that are made up of welfare, employment, voc rehab, and all the other workers working together. And then finally, Bob Ingalls from Corvallis, who was a representative then, when he took this to the floor, he said, this agency should eliminate bouncing people from pillar to post by setting up one place where people can get holistic services. That's what everybody envisioned in 1971. We didn't get there for a long way for a whole variety of reasons. And my goal in the time that I've been here was to get us there, because I think that vision that legislators had in 1971 was absolutely the right one. That's been my goal, and I've hired people who have that same vision. All the division administrators are are people that I've hired, and they have all been hired with the understanding that we are going to run an integrated department, and we're going to make these divisions work together. And that means we're going to share staff, and we're going to share money across divisions, and we're going to do that in a way that gets us the best outcome for all the people that we serve. And that integration is not just about the divisions working together, it's about us figuring out how to work with our partners. All the county governments, the nonprofit agencies, the faith-based organizations that Senator Shields has really, brought to the surface for us, that we need to integrate our services with all those folks. Because I don't think you can be successful in the years ahead without doing that. And so we built on some of the work that Kevin Kincannon actually started and Bobby was doing when I came here, service integration projects. And those service integration projects blossomed over the last few years. We had 41 projects all throughout the state where we were trying to integrate local and state services. And then a year ago, we decided it was time to take these to scale. And some of you, Senator Mesley knows, one of the scales was Coos County. We picked four counties and said, we're going to start a service integration model based on a county and try to draw all the county services together for the best interests of the clients. And we picked Coos and Polk and Baker and Jackson. And in the last year, those counties have done really exciting things. I mean, Senator Mesley has been to some of our meetings in Coos and has a good idea of what's going on in one of his counties. And they're bearing tremendous fruit in terms of being able to get people to work together. We're not going to have a lot more resources. I mean, that ought to be obvious to everybody, not just this session, but in sessions down the road. And what that means is we have to figure out how to use what we have in the best possible way to get the best possible outcome. And that's what service integration is all about. Beyond that, I think there are other things that were mentioned in a letter that you should feel proud of, that I feel proud of, that we did with the legislature's help. I mean, things like reducing the welfare caseload. And there are debates that will always go on about whether that was done properly. But the fact is that people are working and they're supporting families and they're being assisted in many cases still by the state, but they are working themselves towards independence and self-sufficiency. We developed an employment program for people with disabilities, the first in this country, where people who have disabilities can go to work and still not lose their attendant care and their Medicaid coverage, their Medicare coverage, and be working, which is what people with disabilities want. They want the same thing we all want, to be able to work and contribute. And that we started that here in this state as the first ever program. Your letter mentions respite care. The Oregon Respite Care System is the model that Nebraska used a year ago to adopt their statewide respite care system, and many other states have adopted similar things. But Oregon was the start of it. We closed Fairview, again, a very controversial and difficult thing, which, Mr. Chairman, you helped us a great deal on, that whole closure of Fairview. And I continue to believe that was the right thing to do. People are living in communities, and they're living lives close to what we all get to enjoy. We developed programs for medically fragile kids, which was difficult to do in a tight budget. We developed community safety nets. So I think all of those are things we can look back on and take a great deal of pride with the help of the legislature. Now we're embarked on the first major reorganization of this department in 30 years, which is a long time to go without stepping back and looking at yourself and saying, are we organized in the proper way? If we were a company with 10,000 employees and an $8 billion budget, we probably would have done this earlier than 30 years. But this is an effort that's timely. It's critical to our ability to deliver the comprehensive and coordinated integrated services that I think we have to do. And we've got a new leader in the department to do that, and that's Bobby. And as I said to you, I don't think the governor could make a better choice, and I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about the work in the reorganization. But I want to close by saying to you once again how much I appreciate and am grateful to you for the opportunity that I have to work in government, because while you may not remember this, you've confirmed me 8 times, which the Senate historian once told me may be the first time anybody's been confirmed. But so for good or bad, you've done that 8 times, and you've given me a chance to work in this government. And for the support that you've given the department, and I think most important, for the support that you've given for Oregonians, who are needy and vulnerable, and depend on your good judgment and your support, and I think you've done a great job of that in the time that I've been here. So those were the things I wanted to share with you, and particularly some of you I've known for a long time and have so much respect for. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Just one couple comments, and Franco, you mentioned LB Day.
Yes, sir.
I couldn't suppress a grin because about 26 years ago, when I was very, very new to hearings process, I got caught crosswise between Dick Groner and LB Day. And for those of you that have been around here for a long time, I won't go into it, but you know what how I was feeling. And I don't know who was normally the winner in those kind of combats, but Groner came out on top on that one because he was chair of the committee and he had to gavel. But it was quite an experience for me as a new businessman and just barely getting started, knowing what it was like to be sitting in one of these hearing rooms. Or it wasn't here, actually. It was another building, but amounted to the same thing. So we thank you very much, and I think a couple of senators here may wish to make a little statement, so I'll turn it over to Senator Shields.
Well, I was just going to say, Gary, that after... I didn't realize that you had been confirmed 8 times. I mean, my...
The problem when you can't hold a job, Mr. Chairman.
I was going to turn it around the other way and say after being confirmed 8 times, you should feel affirmed by the state of Oregon.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Chairman,
Bobby to proceed. I would, and I wanted to welcome Bobby. We didn't mean to leave you out, but hopefully, since I'm starting my last potential term, I will not be here to have to write a letter like this to Bobby, although I probably would be very happy to do it if I should happen to be here, happy and sorry at the same time. But Bobby, we welcome you. It's been a pleasure to work with you and have your expertise available to us, I guess, from probably even before I came here, certainly since the time that I've been here in the last 8 years. So we'll look forward to working with you, and really appreciate the spirit of cooperation and stuff that you've worked out with Gary and the things that you're doing over there. And we want to be here to back you up, and we'll be leaning on you for information and things that we need from the department. So we're glad to have you here today, and let you launch right into what you've got to present to us.
I'm Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Bob Mink. I'm Deputy Director of the department. We still have one director here, and that's Gary, and he'll be the director until the end of the month. It is with great regret that I see him go. As you probably saw my quote in the Oregonian, when you follow somebody, you'd rather follow a Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life rather than George Bailey, the most wonderful guy in town, you know. So that's what's happening to me. I'm following George Bailey. Sometimes, you know, you just wonder how fair life is. I've got this job now that Gary's worked on for the last 5.5 years, and he's moving on to his job, and his job description says, come to work in the morning, we'll fill your pockets with money, and then you go out and give it away. Somehow I think the stress level has changed for him. Every job has its challenges, and one of the things I can assure you that we will be continuing to talk with Gary about how Annie E. Casey can benefit the state of Oregon. Just a few brief comments. I know you have some people waiting behind me. We've left you with a fact sheet on the reorganization, and that's a high-level summary of the reorganization. Let me tell you where we are in this process. The governor in October asked Gary and I to look at reorganizing, and we began working on it right away, and we tried to be very inclusive. We've included people from throughout the structure in our department, from case managers to supervisors to branch managers, people who work in our central office. We've also invited county folks from county mental health and county public health to participate. We haven't had many of those come to our daily sessions. We've had a few. We've had a couple of members of tribal human services arenas come in and work with us. But the fact of the matter is people from different levels of this have been involved in the daily work. The other thing that we have is a stakeholder partners committee, which include mental health directors and practitioners from county, public health people, includes county commissioners, includes the advocacy folks, includes consumers, who have met with us several times, and Gary's going to be meeting with them again on Friday about that. We've also been meeting with other state departments about what this reorganization may mean for them, and things to watch out for. So we've been trying to cover our bases and trying to think of who we need to be involved with and trying to involve them. What Gary said about the reorganization is exactly what we're trying to achieve. We're trying to end up with a situation in which the people who come to us with multiple problems, and that's a lot of people, of the 720,000 people we serve every year, 25% of them see three or more of our divisions. When those people come to us, we want to end up with a service delivery system so they can end up with one case plan instead of multiple case plans. One case plan that they can understand and they can have some hope of succeeding in. We don't have that right now. We've managed to do that in some locations around the state, but it isn't everywhere. The reorganization is going to make that happen. And so what we need is an integrated field structure so the case managers can work in teams, just like one of the quotes Gary gave you from 1971. People can work in teams around clients that need multiple helps with one case plan. And right now, the proposal that Gary and I have in front of us that we're considering has one field structure, one field management structure that will help us achieve that. Right now, with four separate field management structures within our department, it's very difficult to get people on the same page and get them together to work in teams. The other thing that you need is a policy set, the people who are setting policy for human services in the state, to have an integrated policy. So the people making Medicaid policy, child welfare policy, TANF policy, mental health policy, are all on the same page, making policies that aren't inconsistent with one another, so that people can understand them easily, and our case managers can understand them and work in an integrated fashion. We're going to have an integrated policy in our department. The third component of this department will be one business, one set of business systems. Right now, each of our divisions have contracting officers, purchasing officers, personnel folks, training folks, budgeting folks. We're going to end up with one department set of those so that we can better manage our resources, better manage our contracts, and we think we can do that more efficiently. So this is coming to a point where Gary and I will be presenting this plan to the governor before he leaves. Probably be one of the last days he's here, but we're going to present this to the governor and get his okay with it in early February. In one of your meetings, I'd like to come back and roll out the details of this to you.
That's our plans, by the way. We believe that our mission here in the reorganization process is to have you report to us fairly regularly, and I was very happy to be able, not that Gary was leaving, but I was very happy to be able to do this early on and have a reason for doing this. And so as soon as you make your presentation to the governor and have some reasonable idea of where it's headed from there, we'd like to have you back. The sooner the better.
Just let me end with this, Mr. Chair. I believe this is absolutely the right thing to do. I've been deputy director in this department for 8 years now. Prior to that, I was in the old CSD, now SCF, for 4 years. I believe to my bones this is the right thing to do. I'm committed to this, and I will bring you a good plan to consider.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Yes, Senator Shields.
I truly believe the goals of this are right, and I'd like to express the one concern I had when I first heard about it, and that was the timeline, doing it in the middle of a legislative session. When we get distracted around here, people refer to trying to get the legislature to work together on some things is kind of like herding cats, you know, and so maybe it becomes a job of this committee and a few others to try to keep some focus on this process, because it's certainly not one you can do by yourself.
Absolutely.
My concern will continue to be that this kind of reorganization, as important as it is, doesn't get lost in the shuffle of all the other kinds of work that the legislature does. So as you develop the plan, help us to find ways to make it impossible for an overworked legislature to ignore.
Mr. Chair, Senator Shields, I won't let you forget about this. When the governor asked me to be the interim director, he said, Bob, you need to deliver this reorganization. I've worked in this department a long time. I want to make this happen, and I'll do everything I can to keep this in front of you. But we also need your input into this, so we'll keep working it.
Well, we're generally mouthy enough to give you all the help you want anymore.
That's right.
Well, anyway, thank you very much for coming today. And
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Messler.
I'd like to make a comment or two here. I was first introduction to this process, as Gary mentioned, was when I attended some meetings in Coos Bay and talked with some of the staff, and I was not only impressed from the direction that the department is trying to go, but from the excitement in the staff. I mean, it's going to be hard for some of them, no doubt about it. But the realization, I think, clear down to the local staff and on the ground of how important this is and how important this is to the customers. My background in business, as we brought in more technologies and computers and reports and all this stuff, is that it really doesn't, in my experience at least, hadn't saved our company much money, but it buried us in information and process. And I'm really excited to see that I think we've got an opportunity here to reverse that trend. And I can foresee some real savings, and some real savings not only in money but time of staff, and really get a better product and a faster product to the public we serve. So I support the track we're on, and want to do all I can to support that.
Thank you. Well, there's something that a lot of people don't factor in. And that is when you strike something that meets with public acceptance and satisfies your constituents or your clientele or whatever the case might be, all of a sudden a much huger percentage of your time is out there developing things and being able to do things and accomplish things rather than put out fires. And the person can waste an awful lot of money putting out fires. Not only that, those fires create other fires, and you can get just absolutely buried in that kind of a thing. So we really wish you well. Hope this turns out, and we'll do everything we can to back you folks up over there, and just hope that you let us know when there's something that we can do. And if you've got some bills in this session, I'm sure we don't have them all sent out yet that lean toward this. Maybe we're even working on one of those today, for all I know. So we want to, again, offer our help and our congratulations on the work that you've accomplished, and good luck to you, Bobby, and same to you and Gary in your future endeavors. And
likewise, good luck to you all.
I remember your little speech there about when was a good time to leave, and it reminded me of the song, If Ever I Would Leave You, you know, it wouldn't be in summer, it wouldn't be in fall.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bon voyage. Yeah, Nikki, thanks for being patient. And I guess we'll ask you up now. I'll have open the public hearing on Senate Bill 364, and we will have the administrator here brief us on the bill.
Thank you, Senator. Senate Bill 364 does a number of things. It changes the name of the Office of Children's Ombudsman to the Office of Children's Advocate, transfers the office from the Commission on Children and Families to the Department of Human Services, requires that the office maintain a toll-free number, collect data on systemic trends in child abuse and neglect, protects individuals who might want to turn in a complaint about a child abuse neglect system, and allows the office to conduct criminal background checks when doing investigations. Just as a little background, the Office of Children and Ombudsman was created in 1993 with Senate Bill 1042. It's been in the auspices of the Commission on Children and Families for a while. The commission basically sets up plans to support families and children from the state level, and then there are local county commissions. Since 1996, the commission has had an interagency agreement with the Department of Human Services to actually operate the services through the Department of Human Services, the Governor's Advocacy Ombudsman Office, where they carry out the duties, including collecting, analyzing data on child abuse, neglect, initiating activities, prosecuting on prevention of child abuse, To operate the office, receives money from fees on adoptive and birth certificate costs. Their 9901 biennium budget was $284,000, which funds several staff. And contrary to the measure summary, the Legislative Fiscal Office did call and say there's no financial impact because of that, those fees that come in.
All right. Go ahead. Whichever direction you, who wants to go first?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Jen Dennison, Administrator of the Governor's Advocacy and Children's Ombudsman Office and Oregon's Children's Ombudsman. Since November of 96, my staff and I have fulfilled the responsibilities of the Children's Ombudsman through an interagency agreement, as Rick mentioned to you. On November 19th of 97, I was confirmed by the Senate as Oregon's Children's Ombudsman. Senate Bill 364 is introduced at the request of the Department of Human Services in collaboration with the State Office of the Commission on Children and Families. Senate Bill 364 changes the name of the Office of the Children's Ombudsman to the Office of the Children's Advocate. I chose to honor Representative Jackie Winter's desires that ombudsmen, as used by the State of Oregon, ombudsman staff, really are not, in the pure sense of the word, an ombudsman. And in actuality, we do advocate for the child's best interest, so we chose to change the name of the office to the Children's Advocate. This transfers the office from the State Commission on Children and Families to the Department of Human Services and directs the office to maintain the child's toll-free telephone line that we've maintained for the past 7 years. In conversation with our partners, we found that there is need to amend the bill language to eliminate some of the references to statutes specific to the Commission on Children and Families. So the bill that's presented to you at this time does need some changes and amendments. And Mickey Lansing, Deputy Director of the State Office of the Commission on Children and Families, is here with me because we have discussed this along with Nancy Miller with the CRB, and we'll be working on some language changes to amend this bill.
Okay.
For the record, my name is Mickey Lansing. I'm the Deputy Director of the Oregon Commission on Children and Families. I want to say how pleased I am to be here today sitting with Jen Dennison from the Department of Human Services. As Jen says, we have been in an interagency agreement since November of 1996, really believing that the Department of Human Services could much better fulfill the statutory requirements with the Children's Ombudsman. During this time, we have had an excellent relationship with DHS. They provide us periodic updating and report as to what is happening. And we really believe that that interagency agreement was necessary at that time.
Nikki, we just lost a quorum here, so I'm going to reconvene as a subcommittee for testimony purposes. Go ahead. I apologize for that.
Thank you. That's all right.
Keep things on a correct level here.
Well, I just want to say in terms of brief history that when this legislation was enacted in 1993, we had some experience between 93 and 96 in trying to do what the legislation asked us to do. For one thing, having a hotline was very expensive and not something that we were able to do. And in fact, the duties of the legislation seemed to be in conflict in terms of the primary mission and goals of the Commission on Children and Families. So I just want to say that Jen and I have been in this position for two prior sessions. This is the third time. My hope is that the third time is a charm and that, in fact, we are going to be able to actually move by statute the office of what we are now proposing to be the Children's Advocate to the Department of Human Services. They've done an excellent job, and we fully support that occurring.
Well, I would compliment you on one thing. Advocate is much easier to say than ombudsman. And it's much easier, more easily understood by our constituents. I'd also like to, while we're doing some thank yous here, and I have appreciated Jim Dennison's help so much through the years. I wished I had realized she was there sooner. She may not wish that I knew that she was there sooner, but I could recommend to any of my colleagues, if they have tough problems to crack with trying to direct someone to some type of help or services, when you don't know where to go, stop at Jen Dennison's, and you probably will never see that person back other than to thank you for your help.
And so I do thank you for the work that you accomplished for us. It is so difficult for us with so many different programs and things out there to try to be expert and try to help people into the right area that I try not to just get lazy and immediately anytime somebody phones and has a Health and Human Service problem to send directly to you. But thank you very much for that help and for that expertise that you provide for us, and we will slip into a full committee now that we have a quorum again.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. It's been my pleasure to work with all of your offices and your staff, and I look forward to continuing the relationship.
And as long as this advocate business doesn't get rid of your services for us, why, I think I can go along with it. And we'll look forward to the... Now, you will be bringing us amendments?
Yes.
On this?
Yes.
All right. Now, we will get on to it, then. As soon as you can get the amendments to us, we'll get this back in for a work session then.
Great.
Another hearing to make sure we have everything straight on the amendments. But we have one further person to testify, Nancy Miller. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We're getting you broke in early in the session.
Very early. For the record, I'm Nancy Miller. I'm the director of the Juvenile Court Programs Division of the State Court Administrator's Office. My division includes the Citizen Review Board and the Juvenile Court Improvement Project. And I really don't need to say much now that Jen said what she said. I called her this morning. I apologize for not having written testimony. I just saw the bill this morning. As a former vice chair of the Children's Justice Act Task Force, I also worked with Jen and Mickey for several years trying to get the responsibilities of this office straightened out. And we ran into some technical problems with the bill and are not sure that it does exactly what Jen envisions it doing. So she was very receptive to our comments this morning, and we will be working with her on the amendments. We do support the transfer from the commission to DHS. There are just some wording differences.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and appreciate the spirit of cooperation that sure makes our job easier.
Thank you.
Okay, any further business to come before the committee? Hearing none, we will close the committee.